Good morning, everybody. Today's reading will be from the NIV. We'll be reading the book of Psalms, chapter 46, verses 1 through 11. Psalm 46, verses 1 through 11. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. May the Lord bless this reading.
Morning. It is good to be together, isn't it? Well, before we get into our lesson this morning, we'll take a little bit of time to enjoy being here together. But before we get started, let's have our prayer together, please. Father, we humbly come before you, knowing that you have given us all that we need, that you've been providing for us every day of our lives, that you've been watching over us. Father, as the days pass, we become more and more aware of how short these lives are. And so, Father, we ask that you help us. Help us to take today and make a difference, to honor you with it, to encourage those around us, to help those who need. Father, help us to live as we look forward to that life that awaits us. And help us, Father, to grow an understanding of all that you desire and be transformed by all that you've given us through your word. We look forward, Father, to that day that we'll be together before your throne. Until that day, Father, help us to live with hope and with joy. For through Jesus we pray. Amen. Have y'all ever watched a cooking show and said, "I want to try to make that"? You don't get kind of excited about it. And you get to the store, and because you don't have everything you need in the pantry, you pick up a couple other things so you can make that recipe. I've done it. And you know what a pantry becomes eventually? A museum. Because we put those ingredients and we set them in there with the best intention. And then as you get older, kids, let me tell you, here's a sign of getting older. You go to your pantry, you pull something out, and you find that it expired 5 years ago. And you think, my goodness, how long has that been in there? And then you grab the next thing and you find out it expired 10 years ago. And all that you had planned with those ingredients just kind of like, I mean, do you still try to use what's 10 years out of date? Depends on what it is, I guess. We know that eventually these things don't hold their flavor anymore, and they might be a little bit dangerous depending on what's going on inside of them. But all of those hopes and dreams for that wonderful recipe, for imagining what it would taste like, is gone because everything just zipped on past, and here we are. In a sense, we do that with our days. I mean, don't we all have great intentions for what we want to see happen in our lives? For a day, we get all excited about this is what we're going to do. We're going to make a difference. We're going to change. We're going to really make something of it, to live life. And then one day we wake up and go, what happened? Where did all that go? Another sign of getting older. Y'all remember when summertime lasted forever? And now we blink and it's gone in a moment. And the days zip on past us. So how is it that we are able to live in awe of God? And what keeps us from living today just like that? I think part of it is that it's so easy for us to be distracted in this life. Now, we talk about cell phones distracting us. Well, we'll keep our eyes on them and miss all kinds of things around us. We don't hear things. The truth is, and I'll let you know, before we had cell phones, we could still be distracted. It didn't take a cell phone to do it. We're very talented on finding other things to fill up our minds and our time with that just burns through everything that went on. You know, and we can go back even before TVs. Now see, here kids, you know how hard it was. People before me talked about the rough times they had growing up. You know how hard it was for me growing up? I had to get up from the couch to go to the TV to change the channel. See, they didn't life hard. But see, we had things in life where we knew we could fill up our time and be distracted as we went along and miss so much in our time. And we know that there are things that keep us from really realizing what's going on. We're in everything else. We wake up one day and we realize what happened to all that time that we had. What happened to all those intentions? Now, in Luke chapter 21, Jesus talks about this idea of you know, hey, things in this world come to an end and things change. And, you know, we have to watch out. Be careful or your hearts will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you suddenly like a trap. And that picture there is a reminder how we can have things just fill up our attention, fill up our hearts, fill up our minds, and pretty soon we have lost track of all that's been going on in our lives, and we've lost our intentions, and we're not where we really wanted to be all along because of everything that's going on. And that idea of being unaware of what's going around us is so easy to fall into. You know, how many things have we missed in our lives? And to think this has been a thing that's going on alone. Can you imagine being Mary and Joseph and getting down the road and figuring out you left a child behind? That Jesus was still back in Jerusalem? I mean, that just shows how easy it is for us to not pay attention to things that we need to pay attention to. And we still do that today. So how is it that we start to pay attention to where we are today in all that's going on around us? And I think our prayer becomes, Lord, open my eyes. Help me to see what is in this moment today so I don't miss it. I don't want to miss any of that. That we need to see things as they are. Y'all remember Elisha and his servant? Here they are. They're surrounded by an army there in 2 Kings. And the servant gets out there and just bemoans, going, oh, what are we going to do? And Elisha says, Lord, open his eyes. And he got to see the army of God that was there that outnumbered the army of Aram that was there surrounding the town. To see those kind of things. Psalm 119:18 says, "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." I mean, how many times do we go through and out of all that we have going on in life that we don't see just little simple things around us and live for today? That today I want, Lord, to see what's going on. Lord, I want to live it out. How many times do we miss somebody because we don't necessarily pay attention? I think sometimes one of the most important things that we do when we're gathered up in this room together is to stop and take a moment and see each other, to notice each other, and to spend that time to really be here in this moment. And life is just that way in general, to be where we are in the moment in life and to see what's going on. The people, the moments, the beauty of this world, the joy, so many things that we can just go on by and not pay attention. Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him." And I think God would remind us to be where we are in this moment. Because you think about how many times we aren't here now. Not talking about just this moment in our gathering as we talk about God, but just in life in general, how we are not where we are physically in the moment. That we get caught up in other things. Part of it is we can be in such a hurry that we're looking forward to what's coming as opposed to where we are in this moment. That we rush through life. And not just physically. I mean, you think about how much we miss. What's the difference in driving somewhere and taking a walk somewhere? I always used to laugh about my children. We live, how far is it any place in Andrews, Texas? 2 hours. Well, and what's funny is, you know, where we are, we get settled into it. I'd laugh about my kids not wanting to walk to school. We lived a few blocks from the high school. They ran track cross country, and it was too far. I thought, my word. But you think about it, the drive, we can drive that, but the difference between driving and walking is tremendous because you see things you do not see. I need to start that sentence different. When we're driving, we miss so much. When we're walking, we see so much that we didn't see when we drove where we were going. Because the speed difference is tremendous. And we can look at this scene up here and go, oh, wouldn't that be a beautiful drive? Because of all that we could see laid out ahead of us. But the truth is, it'd be more beautiful if you could stop and walk for a while. Because the things up close and in the present really will jump out at us. And so it's not just that we are physically speeding past things, but it's also that we are mentally rushing through this life. When Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 talks about in this world, he says, you know, don't worry about your life. You know, remember, he's talking about the birds. How does God take care of the birds? The flowers of the field. He said, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Whoop, jumped ahead. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When we talk about worry, where are we living when we worry about something? We're looking forward to what may happen that's going to be terribly bad. We're living ahead of us instead of being right where we are. About will this work out? Will this? It's always about somewhere down the line as opposed to being where we are right here in this moment. And he says, what are you doing living in tomorrow and worrying about what tomorrow is going to be? Be where you are. Who is it that had the phrase, you know, worry is borrowing trouble from tomorrow? Why do we do that to ourselves? We rush ahead in our lives thinking, I've got to take care of what's coming up as opposed to I'm going to live right here today. and take care of this moment and be here presence. You know, we think, how many of us right now are actually thinking hours ahead of where we are right now? Any of y'all spent some time right now thinking about lunch? Maybe that's not a nice question, is it? I've already thought about lunch. How many times do we think about, oh, I got to take care of this? And we lose track of where we are because we're already hours ahead or days ahead or even months ahead of what's going to be as opposed to being here today. And what we need is just, instead of rushing through, to stop for a moment and ask God just to still our hearts and our minds to be here. Because we're not even to tomorrow yet. We're right where we are. And to have, like Jesus, when he was sleeping in that boat, and the storm was raging, and the disciples were all worried about what was going to be, and he gets up and tells that storm, the sea, to stop. Be still. Quiet. And I think I like the better picture after it's all passed. That we could be right here in the moment and just see and be instead of rushing ahead. Being here today, being with each other, and to breathe for a moment. Back to our scripture reading in Psalm 46. You see, if the rest of the psalm talks about all that God is doing in this world, because this world tries to fight against him. This world is full of so much. And God steps in and shakes it all up and he says, be still. He's not saying, okay, chill out. Well, in a sense he is, but he's saying, I've got it. Realize God is God. There's only so much that we have control over. And because we can't control everything, we have to trust God in everything else. And so in this moment, we know God is God. Tomorrow is His. I'm going to be here today. I'm going to live for Him today in every way. That God will always be seen to be God. That we're going to trust Him in it and live the day that we have. Another thing that we do instead of being here today is sometimes we miss today, bless you, because we get settled in to routine. We're comfortable with it. I say this as a person who has a routine that's very fixed. You walk into my closet and you can see what I'm wearing tomorrow. And if you look ahead, you'll know what I'm wearing Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. I don't have to think about it in the morning. It's there. But when I get up in the morning, I know what I'm doing next. And I know what follows. I am very much part of routine. Back in the olden days when we rode in covered wagons and I got a newspaper every morning, and that was part of my routine. So I don't think routines are bad, but sometimes we get so settled into them that we forget that there's something more to this world than just the way we've always done it. There's what a routine becomes. It's the way we've always done it in our lives. And that routine, once we get into this rut, how many of us have started out driving somewhere, arrived there, and didn't remember how we got where we were? Because we've taken the same path over and over and over again. We don't even have to be aware of what's going on. We just drove. And in life, sometimes we do the same thing with our days. We filled it up with so much routine that we're just trying to get through the time, and we don't pay attention to where we are in this moment. And so when we look at that, in a sense, it becomes a perpetual Groundhog Day. It is a tough morning this morning, isn't it? because, you know, we have the same thing over and over again, and we never see anything different. And in a sense, what we've done is we've anchored our today to what has always been in the past. In Mark chapter 7, in talking to the Pharisees, they point out that the disciples didn't wash their hands like they should have. But the reason they talked about washing their hands is because they don't eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. And so the tradition, the way we've always done it, is something that we've just done because we've always done it that way, and we keep on doing it without ever looking at it to see if that's what ought to be. And so in life, we know we do that in families, we do that in churches, but we do that as individuals to where we just do the same thing over and over again, and because this is the way it's been, that we're tied into the past. And what ties us to yesterday is so much, not just tradition, but also shame and regret and guilt. And all of those things of the past, we put our lives onto autopilot and we just let it take us. Yesterday becomes the driver. Or maybe a good picture is we sleepwalk through life because we do the same thing over and over again without ever being aware of what's going on around us. And in a way, we've got to wake up where we are to see what's going on. How good is it for us to take a different path to where we're going than the same one we've done over and over again, just to force ourselves to go to see, to live today awake? I love Ephesians 5, where he quotes, you know, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. And there he's contrasting light and dark. It says, we're not to live in darkness, that we are in the light. And if you're in the light, you wake up. And we live our lives in the light. We wake up to be here, to be present. Romans 13, verses 11 to 12. Do this understanding the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. He said, wake up, live where we are. Be present in the moment and do what needs to be. That here in this moment, what we have is the opportunity to discover treasure. You know what we miss when we're on autopilot? When we're sleepwalking, we miss things that really ought to jump out at us. Jesus, in talking about what's coming and what's been passed, and he says, you know, the folks who are able to, every teacher of the law who has become a disciple in the kingdom of heaven, is like the owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So there's nothing wrong with what was, but we still have to grab a hold of what's new and learn from it. And that learning is part of what makes things alive to us. Do you know why days feel different to us when we get grown as opposed to when we're younger? Because when we're younger, everything is still new. We get older, and we go through the same things over and over again. And the days pass fast because we're not catching those moments where we learn and we see what we haven't seen before. And for us to really live, we've got to stop in the moment and say, wow. Just those little things. Paul talks about in Colossians, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and united in love, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Even within opening up the pages of the Bible, he says, there are treasures there that we have not yet discovered. We think, if we get to where we think we know, we're missing so much. And in life, we get to think we know, and we miss so much, as opposed to seeing the new things, seeing the amazing things that ought to wake us up and put us in awe of what goes on. And at the least, as we get older, we need to be able to see the world through the eyes of those who are younger, who are in awe of, wow, did you see that? As opposed to becoming cynical, comfortable in the way things have been. That today, to live today, we need to to learn, to open up our hearts and our minds to what God has laid out before us, to be able to see, to hear, to enjoy things the same way children do. And today becomes a joy. You know, each day is an opportunity for us to see what God is doing and be in awe of it. To see how the children grow, to see how others are changing, to see the gifts that we've been given in this moment. Today is the day that we have. And it's today that we live. To be in awe. And I go, wow, God is good. And maybe today you've settled into the way things have been and it's time to make a change. Whether it's to ask for prayers and encouragement to be able to open up your eyes. Whether it's to take a step out of the ordinary, to put on Christ in baptism, to become His in every way, to whether to take a change in how you've been living, to live more as God wants you to. But if you need to respond, would you come as we stand and sing?